Connie Rizzolo Brown and Celeste Allen Novak from Rizzolo Brown and Novak Architects. Welcome, Connie.
Thank you very much, Sheila and Alan. It's nice to be here this morning.
And very nice to have you here as well, Celeste.
Thanks, Alan and Sheila. It's great to be here on your 40th show.
Connie, can you give us an overview of your design and architect practice?
We specialize in a couple of places. One of them is senior housing and helping seniors to be more comfortable in their spaces, whether it's a new home or an existing home, maybe having a parent or somebody move in with them. We do art center type projects, cultural places, and work very strongly in the sustainability field.
Celeste, the brochures for your practice headline, Design Means Listening. What's that about?
We are really interested in design. And for us, that means really talking to people, but more listening to what they feel about their space or want to achieve in their life and how they want to go about the tasks in their daily living, whether it's working in an office or getting up in the morning and getting ready to go out. Space is very important to us, and how people perceive space is even more important.
Connie, does your firm do a lot of work with seniors?
We do, not only assisted livings, but individual homes. And just to toot our own horn here, we won a competition. Well, we didn't win. We placed in a competition, but it feels like winning. It was for a senior high-rise facility in Washington, D.C. One of the things your previous guest mentioned was talking about living in the high-rise, and Celeste and I really considered what that condition was like and thought about how do we bring an access to the outdoors into a high-rise condition. And one of the ideas we came up with was a vertical garden, something that could start at the ground and could be experienced on all levels by people that they could interact with. So that was the special thing to us.
Connie, it sounds to me like you flat out won that contest. So good for you. Celeste, when people think elderly architecture, I think most people are thinking ramps and remodeling bathrooms. What else is there?
When you're thinking about design, you're really thinking about all of the five senses. So it's really more about your feeling about your environment, even more than the actual physical thing. It is about ramps, but you know, what if ramps were part of a raised garden bed? So it could be part of your ability to go outdoors and work at waist level with your garden, as well as get in and out of your house. And it is about kitchens. It is about the way that you reach and place things in your house and have access to them in a way that makes it easy for you to do some wonderful cooking. And it's about bathrooms and how you move around the bathroom space. And it doesn't always mean it has to be big. It can be even smaller spaces because that makes it easier for people to get back and forth in the room.
Our guests are Celeste and Connie from Rizzolo Brown and Novak Architects, and this is Everything Elderly on 1290 WLBY.
Connie, how do you promote or market your services to the elderly market?
We've been fortunate that a lot of it is word of mouth. We've worked with people maybe on a different kind of project, and they know what we do, and they have a parent who they're looking for some help with, or it's not even necessarily elderly people. I think Celeste mentioned that it's for people of all ages and abilities. Probably about 4 years ago, we worked on a home for a young man who was 20 years old, and he had an accident, was a quadriplegic, so we had to take that whole house and put it together so he could receive care, he could grow in what his abilities were, and also have privacy. I mean, that's not the question you ask me, but that combination of private and public space, and how do you manage that so you give the person who needs the aid, along with the people who are there living with them, how do you give them each their own space, yet bring them together?
Sustainability, I know, is a real trendy topic these days. Celeste, does your practice work towards that sustainability goal?
Yes, we do. And we try to assess a home and its energy use and water use when we go into it, and aspects of daylight and aspects that you might not think of about typically as sustainability. Making homes work for people with many abilities is often named universal design. That's the real goal, even more than sustainability, so that you can grow throughout your whole life, have a home that works for children all the way through seniors in a sustainable fashion. And it's really exciting right now. There are some amazing new materials and equipment that are out there that allow you to have water-saving and energy-efficient appliances, from dishwashers to laundry centers to new kinds of faucets and toilets and sinks. we like to sort of show those to people and get them excited about it, because we're excited about the fact that there's ways to reduce your energy budget and to help the environment by saving water.
What about costs for your services?
Of course, you can imagine they fluctuate depending upon what somebody needs. But I think it's fair to say that usually for a couple of $100, we can help evaluate what it is that you want to do. We can give you some suggestions. Usually we visit your home if it's a home that you're remodeling or looking at or thinking of maybe starting fresh and finding out what it is that you're looking for. And that usually is a pretty valuable time to get guidance and decide what might be some of your better possibilities and what's worth pursuing.
And if it's a full-scale design work, like a big-time remodel, what sort of cost would be involved at that point?
The typical cost for architecture work and design work is probably about 8 to 10% for a budget number that you should plan on. Depending upon the extent, it can be lower. Sometimes if it's very extravagant, of course, those costs may vary.
Is it your belief that in general, architecture services pay for themselves?
I think, and I think Celeste would echo this pretty wholeheartedly, that there's a value you get from thinking about what it is you want to do and helping you, if you want to use a big word, master plan it, but figure out how to get from here to there. We don't always do an addition, but we do a subtraction, which means rather than adding to what you have, creating a bigger footprint, having to build something, you can look at what you've got and you can often reorganize it to make it work better for you. That's not 100% true, but it's that kind of thinking that helps you get to what is it that you really need that's going to give you a real robust way to live your life for a long time. And I do think it's a real important value.
I like that because it's less clutter and I don't have more square footage to clean.
Isn't that good? Yeah.
You're listening to Everything Elderly on 1290 WLBY. Our guests are Celeste Allen Novak and Connie Rizzolo Brown, design professionals with Rizzolo Brown and Novak Architects.
Connie, from your experience, do you see common design mistakes in people's homes?
I do, but you know, that's always kind of easy to to sit on this side and see what you should have, would have, and I can see that in my own house sometimes. When you said, is there a value that you get from using design? And I think the value is having someone maybe who does this a lot and is good at bringing out what your personal needs are and then sharing all of the situations they might have seen and seeing how they might relate to you. Can I share like what my biggest bugaboo is? If there's something you're going to do in your kitchen when you're thinking about microwaves and microwave placements, if you put a microwave above a stove or up high, you've got a hot pan that is always hotter than I ever expected, even if I put a cup of coffee in there. And when I go to reach it out, my natural reflex is to kind of want to drop it. I feel like I'm, you know, that it's hot. That I always recommend people find a place to put microwaves where they can open the door and then slide the hot dish directly onto the counter so they don't drop it onto themselves. It's just a tiny thing, but boy, if you drop a cup or a hot dish, it doesn't feel so tiny at that point.
But, you know, I've never thought of that, and that just seems like, duh,
yeah.
It's such a but it's a great
it's a little
suggestion.
Thing.
It's a little thing, but yeah. I'm thinking of my in-laws' house, and they have their microwave up high above the stove, and clearly it would be better if it was on the counter.
Yeah, I would hate for my personal crusade to be about microwave placement, but.
And Celeste, do you have some basic general design advice for our senior listeners, maybe beyond microwaves?
I think people should really listen to themselves and begin to think through what they really want in their space. We had a client once who really wanted to expand her kitchen and really wanted to be viewing out into her garden. And what could it be that would make that happen? So, you know, if you know there's a beautiful dogwood tree out that wall, think that it might be possible to put a window there. Think about what are the textures or the feelings or the kinds of spaces that make you happy. Maybe even just cut out those pictures if you're going to talk to the design professional and really begin to imagine what could be different, as it often can be.
So Connie, if someone's already predetermined what it is that they want you to do when you walk through the door, and that might not be the best thing for their own environment and what they're going to use it for. How do you talk them off the ledge?
Talk them off the ledge. Sheila, I think it's kind of a combination of things. And, you know, Celeste mentioned listening. And the first thing you do is, I don't think you ever come in and tell somebody what they need or they don't need without finding out who they are and what they have. So there are design aesthetics and there are also functional things. And sometimes something that might be awkward for one person works really well for somebody else. So I really think you talk to them, you find out what it is that's important to them, why they've made the decisions, and then I do let them know if there's other alternatives. Had you thought about this? It's really about taking who and what you are, finding out what you want to accomplish in your life, because whether you're 6 or 16, 60, there's a lot of things you can still do and make it as easy to do it as possible.
Celeste, if I'm thinking of a remodeling or I know I need to improve my space, what's the process? I call you and then what?
I think that would be a great first step. calling an architect, calling us. What we would like to do is we really do like to go to your space. I don't know if you've seen, you know, the television show Bones, where she looks at the bones and they speak to her. Well, I often think for architects, houses do speak to us. And not just the house itself, but where it's set. You know, what are the views? Where does the sun come up in the morning and set at night? What happens around the house? Who's your neighbors? What's the noise factors? So we come and we sort of get a feel for this and then talk with you. Connie's described, I think, the process perfectly. And usually what happens next is we begin to maybe draw up some ideas. Sometimes it's hard for people to understand something that's in a plan format. So we sometimes do three-dimensional computer models or physical models, something to help the person understand how big a space is and what they would see when you're drawing or designing or what that new window might look like in your room. And then it becomes a process of drilling down into some budget parameters. What are the trade-offs? What do you want to afford now? What do you want to plan for later? As Connie says, it's a strategic plan. It's a process. And then it moves on through that. We often contract either with a contractor that has worked with us from the beginning. We have also worked with people that have want to do their own home design and home construction. So we can develop plans for them that they can take off with also.
Celeste, how can listeners get in touch with you two or find out more about your practice?
Well, our website is www.rbnarchitects.com, and our phone number is 734-222-6205.
Well, Celeste and Connie, it's been really informative and fun to have you both with us.
Well,
thank you very much for being here this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila. And Alan, congratulations on number 40.
Number 40. Thank you for that.
Day.